Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast from the Early Morning Late Show.
It is 4 minutes past the hour. Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. Psalm 139, verses 4 and 5, our verse for the day. Before a word is on my tongue, you, O Lord, know it completely. You hem me in or follow me behind and before, and you lay your hand of blessing upon me. And that certainly is our hope and prayer and truth to share with you today on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great day. Your day is off to a good start. If not, let me encourage you to keep looking up, as he is certainly our sustainer, and he is in front of you, he is behind you, and his hand of blessing is certainly upon you. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to Bill English, who is the founder and CEO and CFO of Bible in Business. He's just all around pretty good guy here and a longtime friend. And so we'll be talking to him about really an important topic for both employers and employees. It's 11 warning signs your business is headed for disaster. Now, we're not going to talk about all 11, but we're going to hit some of the highlights. And really the second half of the show, for those of you who may be employed at a business that is heading for disaster, you might want to pay a special attention, because I think there are some things for you to learn, and we'll be talking about that. We're 5 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with Bill English in just a moment. Power of love, right, Bill?
How can you not like Huey Lewis at 7:07 in the morning?
I actually do. That is really fun. 7:07, as he said, it's Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth, Bill English, founder of Bible in Business. By the way, if you haven't checked out BibleInBusiness.com, let me encourage you to do so. Lots of audio available, great articles, encouragement, whether you're an owner, an entrepreneur, or you think you might want to be an owner of your business one day. There's a lot of great resources. I visit your site occasionally, and I think it's amazing how you keep it up to date, and the information content keeps going and growing. You're doing a great job.
Well, thanks. You know, and a lot of the interviews that I've done here at Faith Radio over the last 4 years mm-hmm. are posted out there.
That's true, starting with Austin Hill, I believe.
Yeah, we have probably 30 or 40 from Austin Hill that are sitting out there.
That's great. So, any plans for the summer?
No, but in the fall, I'm leading a tour to Israel in the second half of October. And so that's my vacation, so to speak. And so we still have about 10 or 15 spots open on that trip. If anybody wants to inquire, they can get a hold of me.
Okay.
So
through Bible in Business?
Yes. Yeah, they can just email me, bill@BibleInBusiness.com.
All right. Excellent. Well, that sounds like fun. Love the topic today. Found it very interesting. It's an article that you wrote for Bible in Business, and you talk about the characteristics of the entrepreneur, him or her, and, you know, among them is a level of confidence that some might feel is arrogance. Can happen. But at the end of the day, the personality, the character, the personal dysfunction of the entrepreneur will likely dictate the success or failure of the business.
That's very true. When a business first starts out and you're an entrepreneur and you're the only guy or gal in the business, you're making all the decisions. You're wearing the money hat. You're wearing the product development hat, the relationship hat. You're wearing all the hats. As the business grows, you need to start offloading some of those responsibilities to other people. The ability to scale the business up and really make it successful in terms of going maybe to 5 million, 10 million, 50 million, maybe even 100 million is mainly dependent upon the founder's ability to let go and to delegate and to stay in the founder's swim lanes, so to speak, as those swim lanes change as the business grows and scales and you give things to other people. If you keep, for example, all the decisions routing through you, and you don't develop a management team that can make those decisions, and you don't diffuse authority and decision-making responsibilities, you are going to end up with a very anemic staff who doesn't do anything but to do exactly what you tell them to do because you don't let them make decisions in the first place.
Wow.
Yeah. This is one of the key things
sure
that we see. And, you know, I do my consulting. I write through the Bible and Business, but I do my consulting through the Platinum Group out of Minnetonka. And this is one of the common things that we see in our turnarounds is that the owner has co-opted almost all of the authority and sucked out all the leadership in the room and put it on their plate. And most of the decisions route through them. And they're just not able to manage it as the business grows.
Well, you think about it, it's their baby.
It is.
You know, they've conceived and given birth to this great opportunity. It's growing. There's some success attached to it, obviously, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. How do you walk them away from that reality? That's got to be tough.
You know, your analogy is really good. They birthed this thing. They conceived it, birthed it, and they've grown it. It's much like parenting.
It is.
At some point, you have to let go. And you have to realize that this business is a separate entity from your identity as an owner. And for many owners, their identity, their worth, their success is so wrapped up in a business. Their success as a person, not just as a business owner, but as an entire person is so wrapped up in the business that that's why they feel they have to control. I mean, you think about all of our, you know, there's three of us here in the studio right now. All of us have the need to control things around us.
To the best of our ability.
To the best of our ability. And so that's just a natural tendency. Getting them to let go is really key.
Yeah, that's probably a lot of where your consulting starts, perhaps. Do you find that is the biggest problem in consulting?
No, the biggest problem in consulting is being trusted. Because these same owners have a hard time believing that consultants can actually add value to their lives. You know,
very true.
We're just there to suck money out of them, right? You know, that's what we do. We just go in and take money and don't offer anything. So,
yeah. All right.
I'm being facetious.
I know
of course.
You are. Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com is our guest today. We're talking about the 11 warning signs your business is headed for disaster. We've got a couple of minutes before we break. So let's start the conversation. Only paying attention to cash or profit. Talk about that.
Well, they don't pay attention to cash. They only pay attention to profit.
Okay.
This is a big deal. And we find this almost universal across our turnarounds. The owners are looking at the P&L and they're seeing a positive number at the
bottom. Profit and loss.
Profit and loss or the income statement. And so they see a positive number at the bottom and they think, great, I'm successful. I've made money. Not necessarily. Especially if you're on an accrual basis.
Well, you are a downer.
That's what you pay me for.
That's true. That's
be
true.
Debbie Downer on Wednesday mornings. you know, you can be highly profitable in a business and burn all your cash and go out of business. Just because you're profitable on the income statement or the profit and loss statement doesn't mean that you're building cash. It is almost impossible to go out of business if you're building cash. It's very possible to go out of business if you're profitable, but you're burning cash.
Now, please elaborate because you've lost me here.
Yeah. So let's say because the way that accounting works, you try to match your expenses with your income. So if you book contract worth $500,000 and the contract's going to be delivered over 6 months. Okay. Well, you're going to book that income that on an accrual basis, let's say on a monthly basis, but you may have a ton of upfront expenses that are going to also be booked on a monthly basis, but the cash has to go out the door early to pay for those expenses. So you can pay for those expenses in cash, right, and actually be in the hole on cash and yet on your income statement show that you're profitable.
Makes sense to me now.
So this is a problem of growth that goes too fast. The cash outlays are too much for the investments. But it's really more a situation of owners not paying attention to where their real cash is going. And as a result, they really don't know what's going on with their business.
All right. Bill English, he's our guest this segment. And glad to have him here. We're going to continue our conversation in just a moment. We're 15 minutes past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. 11 warning signs your business is headed for disaster. Bill English, who is the founder and the keeper of BibleAndBusiness.com, is our guest, as he is most every Wednesday. So glad to have him here today. We're talking about this important subject, not only for owners, not only for entrepreneurs, but literally for people who work in businesses that are having some of these disturbing warning signs.
Yeah.
And so we'll talk about that here in just a few moments. If I only focus on the cash that's coming in or the profit, theoretically, that probably means I'm not focused on the expenses.
I've known a number of business owners who just, they kind of get them lulled into this false notion that income's always going to be there. And so they spend and spend and spend and spend, and one day the money's not there, and they don't understand how they got there. And they might be spending it on things that are very valid, or they might be spending it on things like Viking tickets. If you're out in Hartford, it might be Jets or Giants tickets, right, you know? Mm-hmm. If it's in Kansas City, it's still Viking tickets, right, you know?
Oh, that was mean.
Yes, well, you know. Or a new car or something like that. But they just don't pay attention to expenses.
Do you know, how hard is it, or maybe this is another show, how do I know as an entrepreneur or a business owner that I should really grow my business? I mean, it's a family business. We're doing well. Is there not all businesses should expand, or should they?
They should, moderately, probably, or at a steady pace. Businesses that aren't expanding tend to become stale, and they kind of wither on the vine, so to speak.
Right.
Yeah, I like businesses that expand.
All right. One of the warning signs that you talk about is avoiding conflict.
And
you kind of put it surnamed as the blame game.
The blame game, yeah. You know, you avoid conflict. You know other people have a conflict with you, and you avoid it. You don't face into the negative. You let other people stew in their issues with you. You know it's there. You also, in your conflict, you act as if nothing is wrong. And so these people keep working for you, but what they end up doing is behind the scenes they start looking for new employment because they lose respect for you as the owner when you don't face into conflict, when you don't resolve conflict or take care of HR issues correctly. You are costing respect. That's your cost for not doing that, is respect and eventually the loyalty of your staff.
Those things are evident, aren't they? And they permeate kind of like a poison. They really go through an organization quickly.
They can. And if that gossip chain becomes really strong, the stronger the gossip chain, I'll put it this way, the stronger the gossip chain, the stronger the anger that is not being expressed to you, the owner.
Okay. Let's talk quickly about you're an island. You trust few others, if anyone at all, because I do want then to ask you about, okay, you're an employee in this organization. What
right.
do you do? So,
yeah. So another warning sign is when the owner is an island and doesn't have a group of trusted advisors, doesn't talk to anybody, doesn't trust anybody. Sometimes these guys and gals are so compartmentalized that no one person knows everything that's going on other than them. And that's a really dangerous place to be because you don't have any accountability. You don't have any wisdom coming in. Proverbs talks about many advisors making war sure kind of thing. And if you don't have advisors, you're just hanging yourself out to dry.
Okay. So I work at a place like you've just described. We mentioned 4 or 5 of the 11 warning signs. What do I do?
Now, this is hypothetical. Actually, Faith Radio is not a place like that.
Well, I hope not.
No. I didn't want people to get the wrong idea. What do you do? I think you have to assess the level of stress that you're experiencing in working for such a dysfunctional organization, and you have to assess, can I stay in this thing or should I start to really look at a transition to a different employer? It is okay to say to God, you know, I'm really stressed out here and I just need out of here, and to say, okay, it's time for me to go and float your resume and get going on that. To that end, I encourage both employers and employees to be constantly networking. always building your next opportunity. For employers, I call it building your bench. Always be networking to find the next person who can take this key position. For the employee, it's networking and it's saying, you know, what's another opportunity that I could be interviewing for, or what's another person that I need to meet just in case something comes up in their lives. Maybe they'll think of me and I may be able to make a transition.
Isn't that the challenge, though, of a family-owned or a smaller business, that there are only so many seats on the bus, especially in some of the higher-level opportunities?
Yeah, that's a whole nother show, but I'll tell you this in brief. If the family is functional and the business is functional, that isn't an issue. But if the family defines participation in the family as tantamount to participation in the business and vice versa, then, boy, you may be ostracized just for leaving the business. I'm representing a gal right now who's forcing an involuntary buyout of her shares from her three siblings and her two parents because they have defined participation in the business as equal to participation in the family.
Wow.
And that's a tough nut. We could spend a whole show on that.
Okay. Because, again, I do think that that's where certainly a number of our listeners probably work in smaller companies that are owned and operated by a family business.
Right.
And sons or daughters take places of prominence, you know, whether or not they may have earned it.
And that's where we really talk about you. Just because you're part of the lucky DNA club doesn't mean you get to be a part of the lucky management club, mm-hmm. right? And so you can still be an owner as a family member, but not have to be in leadership in the business. We bifurcate the roles of ownership and the roles of management. We don't equate those as we work with family businesses.
As a consultant, that's easy for you to say. Bill English, he is the CEO and really does a great job with BibleandBusiness.com. I do hope you'll check it out. Any closing thoughts or comments?
You know, if you're a business owner and you go out and you look at these 11 warning signs, if you see that three or four of them are characteristic of you or your business, you know, just give me a call. Let's talk, because your business is eventually going to end up in bankruptcy if you don't figure some of this soft stuff out. And so I'm happy to help. And by the way, if you are in a dysfunctional business, please go to God and say, God, do I stay in this business? Do I leave? How can I be a blessing while I'm here? I do have my loyalty here. I need to honor you while I'm here. But can I be released from this call and go somewhere else?
Well, that's great. Bill English, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate your wisdom, your expertise, and for this discussion today. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to be talking to John and Kendra Smiley. They are parenting experts. We're going to be talking about some adult conversations between husbands and wives. But we also want to take your questions, your calls at 877-933-2484. That's coming up at about 7:40 this morning, 8:40 Eastern Time. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. It's 25 past the hour. We're 30 minutes past the hour. We're going to take a break for news here in just a moment. And a reminder, today is the anniversary of D-Day. 1944, thousands of Allied troops invaded the beaches of Normandy, France. The event, which later became known as D-Day, marked the beginning of the defeat of Nazi Germany by Allied forces in World War II. And just in case he's listening today, Dr. David Aikman is celebrating a birthday. He was actually born in 1944, so how cool is that? We're going to be back in just a few moments, about 7:40, talking to John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts. If you have a question or a comment about parenting, specifically strong-willed children, they have some experience in that. I'm going to ask some questions about Logan, our assistant producer, because he seems to be somewhat strong-willed. Most days.
Some days.
Some days. All right. We're going to be back with more of Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings, 35 past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. Coming up in a few moments, we're going to be talking to John and Kendra Smiley, parenting experts. If you have a question or a comment, I hope you'll be ready to call 877-933-2484. We will be taking your calls, as well as we're going to have a conversation with them about adult conversations, but more on that in a moment. Jimmy Page, fitness expert and author, is talking about changing your taste. He talks about sugary foods and how hard it is to give it up. In fact, listen as Jimmy shares his personal experience with this.
My wife and I, we eat very clean, organic food. We've cut out almost all the processed sugars. So when we eat something that's highly processed and sugary, it actually doesn't taste good to us. And the things that God has naturally made sweet, like those fresh organic fruits, the taste just comes to life. And inflammation is at the root of all chronic disease, all chronic pain, all chronic disease. Soda is the number one worst thing that you can do for your body for acidity and inflammation. So if you want to get rid of some of those aches and pains and some of that lack of energy, you've got to cut out that processed sugar and, in particular, the soda.
That's Jimmy Page. Commit to live fit. He is a fitness expert and author, and you can hear the entire interview at our website, myfaithradio.com. In the search bar, click Jimmy Page or Changing Your Taste, and you'll find it there. Coming up in a few moments, John and Kendra Smiley.
Did you know that you're irreplaceable? Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. The time, approval, love, and acceptance you give to your teen is like gold in the economy of relationships. So don't stop giving affection to your kids. Make a habit to meet with your teen every week. Designate a time when authentic conversations can happen, when trust can be fostered and built up. It's your personal, direct interaction that's so important. In fact, if you skip over this essential ingredient, your teen might look for acceptance somewhere else. So here's the bottom line. Don't be stingy with your time and love. Don't be stingy with yourself. You're irreplaceable in your teen's life.
There's much more encouragement for parents from Mark Gregston online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
Minutes past the hour. I'm Dick Whitworth. It's a joy to be with you. Thank you for joining us in Faith Radio Mornings. Really appreciate you. And by the way, Bill Arnold can be heard today at 3 p.m. Central Time, 4 o'clock Eastern Time, as he has taken over the afternoon slot. So excited for him. And thank you for your prayers as we're continuing to look for a replacement for the early morning late show or Faith Radio morning slot at as Neil and I fill in for the next couple of weeks. We'd love your prayer support in that regard. Good friends, longtime friends, John and Kendra Smiley are on the line. First of all, welcome, guys. How are you?
Very good. Good to hear your voice, Dick.
Yeah, thank you, Dick.
Well, it's nice to hear your voices and appreciate our friendship goes back a number of years. I always like to remind Kendra she's the only two-time Illinois Mother of the Year winner, 2 years in a row. That's pretty incredible, Kendra.
Yeah. You might. We're not sure how that happened, Dick, but you do get a big kick out of it.
Well, guys, and John, I want to just say thank you for your military service. It was just reminded us a few minutes ago that today is the 74th anniversary of the D-Day invasion. And I know you served I believe, the Air National Guard or the Air Force?
The Air Force Reserves and the Air Force active duty, and it was certainly an honor for me to do that, and thank you.
Well, we do appreciate you and your service and certainly want to take this opportunity to honor all veterans of all branches of service, men and women alike. Certainly appreciate what you have done to, well, make Christian programming and things like this possible. The very fact that we can talk about our faith and freedom and exercise to vote and all those kinds of things. It's because of our friends, men and women in the military. So thank you so very much. Guys, we're going to be talking about adult conversations here in just a moment. But I do want to remind our listeners that John and Kendra have written a number of books on parenting. They do a number of seminars on parenting, including one on strong-willed children, because they had one, and they survived, which is good news, and kind of makes you an expert in that regard. But they also have an emphasis on be the parent, and I think that's something that is really giving parents permissions to do the job that they really have been called to do. So if you have a question or a comment for John and Kendra, 877 877-933-2484 is the number to call, 877-933-2484. And John and Kendra, let's talk a little bit about this. This, I think, for many men, especially when there's the adult conversation coming, we kind of wilt. We want to run. We want to fight or flight, but most of us run. So let's talk about it. What it means to you, the adult conversation. How did it come about, and what are we talking about here?
Well, it came about because we weren't having adult conversations. We would come up to kind of a, you know, bump in the road, whatever it might be, and rather than trying to figure out how to traverse that bump as smoothly as possible, we would just kind of both dig our heels in and not ever accomplish anything. And I don't remember what the point was when we first said this, but at one point one of us said, we need to have an adult conversation.
A code word.
Probably one of the biggest reasons we came to that conclusion was we would get in a conversation, something that was very difficult, and inevitably one of us would get emotional, and that put a stop to it. And emotions can, there are a wide range of emotions. I would pout, sometimes Kendra would cry, or I would get loud, she would whatever, and it would put a stop to the conversation and a stop to finding a solution to the problem. And we thought, you know, this is not the way God intended parents to work. It's not the way God intended a marriage to work. How can we better find this godly solution to whatever we were looking at? And so we came up with this idea, and we thought it was, you know, maybe if Jesus were sitting here, he would say, you guys need to have an adult conversation and take the emotion out so you can get to a solution.
That's really the key, though, isn't it? To know that you're both going to sit down and to address a topic. Do you have a time limit? Do you, you know, is it a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, or is it till it's over?
It's basically till it's over. Now, it really helps if we're trapped in the car. Recently, we were trapped in the car. We've been traveling a long time. John does the majority of the driving. He was a pilot. He should do the driving. And at one point, about 3 hours from home, we saw the three-hour drive. I said, we need to have an adult conversation. Poor man could not get away.
that's a good place to start, right?
Yes, yes. I think you try to carry it to completion until you both feel that you've come up with a resolution, with a solution, at least that you can give a try.
Okay. And has that worked well for you both?
Yes, it really has. Yeah. Go ahead, John.
It absolutely made an astounding difference in our conversations that are difficult because there are rules to be followed. And once one of us says, we need to have an adult conversation, we have set down guidelines and rules. And so automatically, boom, those rules come into effect. And so now we're talking under a set of rules. And so your listeners might say, well, what are some of those rules? The rules are no emotion, take the emotion out. If somebody starts to get emotional, then we stop and say, nope, that's not part of the rules. We have to be as truthful as we can be. We're not trying to manipulate. We're not trying to win. We're trying to get to a solution. And it has been a wonderful tool, as we say, tool in the toolbox for finding solutions for hard subjects.
Right. The issue isn't winning or losing. And that's usually what we come up with, you know, as human beings when we start in a difficult conversation. Well, as long as I win, this is going to work out okay.
The other thing is the default mode a lot of times in a marriage and that situation is selfishness. And so in an adult conversation, as best we can, when we're having an adult conversation, we're taking selfishness out of the picture. And I know that's tough, but that's what we're trying to do because we're trying to get to a godly solution.
That's good. John and Kendra Smiley, my guests this segment. We're talking about adult conversations. When we come back, we're going to take a short break. Let's talk about listening. How important is listening in these matters? Because I think a lot of times when people argue, they're really crafting their response more than they are actually listening to their partner. So we'll talk about that. And again, if you have a question for John and Kendra about parenting, Again, they have written a number of books, speak on the subject quite often. Be the Parent, Strong-Willed Children, they can cover the waterfront. Love to hear from you at 877-933-2484. More with Faith Radio Mornings in just a moment. Minutes past the hour. You're listening to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dick Whitworth. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope your day is off on the right foot, doing well, and looking forward to a great day ahead. Pleased to have John and Kendra Smiley, longtime friends from East Lynn, Illinois, which is south of Chicago, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we traveled to Chicago. It's about 100 miles south. We traveled to Chicago just often enough to remind ourselves why we live on a farm in central Illinois.
Yes, that's true. You guys, you're great. Appreciate you both, authors, speakers, and radio hosts in their resume. We're talking about adult conversations and the need for really time out, it sounds like, for mom and dad, for husband and wife to set aside, hey, we need an adult conversation. We've talked about some of the rules. Obviously, when it comes to communication, and this, I think, for any of us, and certainly when you think about Washington, D.C. and cable news shows, listening is never done. No one ever listens to the other person when they're dialoguing. Isn't that true?
Oh, it makes me crazy. And when people are really rude like that, I think, what is your mother thinking about this?
Where are their mothers? That's a good question.
Oh, yeah. Listening is so important. You know, and I say this, you got to remember the proportion rule, and that's God gave you two ears and one mouth, and I think he wants to use them in that proportion. The interesting thing, too, with that, and kind of parallel to that, is sometimes we imagine what's being said, or we don't exactly understand. We think we understand what's being said, but a lot of times that can be cleared up if there's a discrepancy by just asking for clarity.
You said, Dick, that when we're in a conversation, a lot of times we are crafting our response as the other person is talking. Why are we crafting our response? Most of the time, it's so we can win the argument. And that's one of the nice things about an adult conversation. Yeah. We're not in it to win it, per se. We're not trying to win the conversation. We're looking for the solution. We're looking for the best solution for our marriage. We're looking for the best solution for our family, our parenting decisions. And so if we are not trying to win, that helps in not crafting that response when the other person is talking.
Well, we are on the same team.
Yeah, there you go. Now there's a concept. Holy cow.
That's right. And God says the two shall become one. And that's a whole lot more than some people think.
Well, honestly, you think about that, and I appreciate what you guys are saying, but we don't approach it that way, unfortunately. I think we forget that we are on the same team, and we wind up hurting each other, saying things we don't mean or in the heat of battle. And that's why this adult conversation makes a lot of sense, because we do protect our own interests, and unfortunately, that is not what team players do.
That's right. John and I always say we're wearing the same color jerseys. Yeah,
that's good.
As a big sports fan, yeah, and it's important, you know, that whole idea of winning. It's not about winning or losing. So you can give up your hidden agenda. Where if I say this, I think he'll think this, and I'll get what I want.
Kendra and I have been married 46 years, and I think it was about 4 years ago that I finally started understanding when God said, when you got married, that the two shall become one. There was a lot involved in that message of the two shall become one. And it is a very heavy message and something that, as a married Christian married couple, it involves a whole lot more than the physical part of becoming one.
Sure. Well, talk about the importance of solutions, because, obviously these conversations erupt because of problems. What about solutions?
well, I think you've got to start trying to find a solution. And you've got to listen as the person suggests something, and the suggester has to be willing to say, okay, yeah, we could tweak that a little bit. I see how that might be a better answer to this. And you may not come up with it right away. There might be something that you have to come back to the table with. Well, let's talk about parenting, for example. Well, one example we just had brought to us by a young mom. She was talking about when do I want to send my child to school? And they weren't necessarily in agreement. So we said, well, talk about what are the pros and cons of sending this child. You know, what's the gender? At one point, three people have talked about that to us in the last, I would say, 3 months. And one woman just recently, is it a daughter or a son? Well, it's my daughter. Well, that's a little different than sending a boy a little earlier. And we talked about those sorts of things to help you kind of get more information to help solve the conflict that might be coming up in an adult conversation.
In an adult conversation, you're dealing with truth. So you use the example that Kendra did in sending a child to school. Let's say that you're talking about it, and let's say the mom's a stay-at-home mom, and she wants the child to go to school, and she really wants that to happen. But what she says is that, oh, I want this child out of here because they're smart enough, so on and so forth. And so then they have an adult conversation, and now you're dealing with the truth. What's the solution? And the solution comes from the truth. And she says, you know what? This kid's driving me nuts, and I want him to go to school.
I am exhausted. Now that's when you can come up with a better solution.
Right. And so if you're dealing with the truth, now, oh, okay, let's talk about that. And how might we get you a little bit of relief? Maybe sending the kid to school is not the best option, but getting you a little relief. And so you have a better solution. The best solution was not to send the kid to school. The best solution might be to get her a little bit of help at home.
Right, exactly. Every Thursday morning we call in a babysitter and you go do whatever you want to do.
That's right.
Okay, we have a friend who's asking the question about compromise. How important or what role does compromise play in these adult conversations?
Well, I think that it's very definitely a possibility that that's the answer. And just what John was talking about, what's the compromise? Well, it's not sending this young boy to school maybe a year before he should go, but it's finding a way that you can have a little relief from being it's tough to be a full-time mom. And it's a great job, and it's an important job. So let's do get that sitter in here on Thursday mornings.
Compromise is a wonderful thing, but a lot of times what Kendra and I found out was we would have these adult discussions. We would get into the truth, and there wouldn't be a compromise. There would be a solution. The Lord would give us a solution, and we would look at each other, and there really wasn't a compromise. It was, aha, this is the best way to do this. And
yeah.
It turned out we both agreed, and we really didn't feel like we were compromising.
Oh, that's great. John and Kendra Smiley, thank you guys for being with us this morning. Time goes quickly. Appreciate the conversation, the topic. If you would like more information about John and Kendra, KendraSmiley.org. I believe that is right. Is it .org?
.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
KendraSmiley.com.
Right. And one of the books you didn't mention, Do Your Kids a Favor, Love Your Spouse, that kind of has to do with adult conversations.
It sure does. Thank you, guys. Have a great Wednesday and a great week. And thanks for being on Faith Radio Mornings. We're 56 minutes past the hour. We're 57 minutes past the hour, and if you've enjoyed any of the conversations today with Kent Kaiser, Bill English, John and Kendra Smiley, or Karen Swallow Pryor, those interviews will be up on our website in podcast form shortly after this program. So we'd love to have you check it out at myfaithradio.com. It's free, shareable. Pass it along to a friend if you know some family members who would benefit from any of these conversations. Certainly we would love for you to take advantage of that. And also the programming on Faith Radio. If you can't hear Chuck Swindoll today at 8:30, you can come back later in the day when it's more convenient for you to have some time and catch a show like that as well. Again, coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be joining Colin Smith, Unlocking the Bible. 8:30 is Chuck Swindoll. And don't forget to tune in to Carmen LaBerge on Connecting Faith. She's doing a fantastic job, really connecting faith to life. Carmen is bringing conversation to the marketplace in great ways, and I know you'll enjoy her. If you haven't checked it out, it's today at noon Central Time, 1 o'clock Eastern Time, Carmen LaBerge, and it is Connecting Faith. Thank you again for joining me on this Wednesday. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Tell a family member or friend about Faith Radio, and God bless you on this very, very special day.
Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show. Connecting.